Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We've got an email here that came in from the LSAT Demon Ask button. So this is a student asking us a question.
Okay. I've picked up on something in parallel reasoning questions that I don't think I've seen mentioned in any explanations. I've noticed the question will either say matches the reasoning or matches the flawed reasoning. I believe every question that hasn't said flawed has had valid reasoning. Is this something you've noticed before? And would it be fair to make it at least a baseline rule to go off on? To go off of? It's been saving me some brain power by not having to think whether it's flawed or valid and skipping to why it's flawed or valid.
Unfortunately, no. You are not allowed to do that. Well, you could do that and it'll work sometimes, but it'll also fail a lot because they don't tell you always that the argument is flawed. Now, when they do tell you that it's flawed, then you need to match the flaw. They're asking you specifically to match the flaw. So read that argument carefully. You should have already read the argument carefully. You should already have spotted the flaw ideally. But if you don't, when you read that question and it says, which one matches the flawed pattern of reasoning above? And you're like, oh, I thought it was good logic. Ooh, well, you better read it again because it's not. It's flawed logic. And you have to figure that out before you start messing with the answer choices. Each answer choice is going to be as long as the passage itself on a matching pattern question, right? So those questions tend to be intimidating to people because they think, oh my God, like, look at these answer choices. They're so long. Well, yeah, that's why you even more have to attack the argument in the first place. And again, if they tell you that it's flawed, there is a flaw. But if they don't tell you there's a flaw, Ben,
then there could be a flaw still, or it could be valid.
Yeah.
So it doesn't help.
But if it's valid, right? So I think that this is probably a student who is reading the question before they read the passage.
Totally. I mean, why else would you save brain power? Right?
Yeah. And it's just another reason why it's not a good idea to read the question first. Because if you read the question and it says which one of the following matches the reasoning above, well, you haven't learned anything from that. The argument may be good or it may be bad. And as always, the game on the LSAT is be the master of the argument. Like, what's up? Is that a good argument or is that a bad argument? And if you can't tell me, then you're just not getting it.
Not only do you have to be the master of the argument and figure out, you know, is it good or bad, but you need to figure out why it is good or why it is bad. Because how many times in class it's like, hey, what do you guys think of this? Is this good or bad? And everybody's like, oh, it's flawed. It's bad. And
you're like, okay, people love that.
Why?
In my classes, everybody's like, it's bullshit. Cause I like trained them to do that. Right. And then I go, yeah, why? And it's like crickets. or two of them will go, well, it's bullshit because of this. And I go, yeah, thank you. All the rest of you who are just chiming in, like, it's bullshit. Good instincts, because it usually is. 90% of the time it's bullshit, but you got to be able to tell me why.
Well, and other times too, right? They're like, it's bullshit. And then they're going off on some premise. Like,
they disagree with a premise.
And you're like, yeah, who cares? We have to accept that Looney Tune fact is true and refocus on the conclusion and why that is either proven or not proven by that Looney Tune premise. So, you know, my point here is that being told whether it's valid or invalid is some of the least useful information. Like, I need to know much more. And that's where you really want to develop your skills.
Right. Good point. Because even if you're told that it's valid, well, okay, but what is the pattern of reasoning? I mean, how did they get there?
Yeah.
Why is it valid? Well, because they gave this premise and they gave that premise. And if you combine those two premises together, then it proves this conclusion. But you have to really understand it. So even if you knew in advance that it was valid reasoning, which you don't in this case, but even if you did, it really wouldn't help you that much.
I think it becomes a crutch. in fact, right? When people know that it's valid, then they become lazy in their thought process and they go, oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Do you know why it makes sense? Did you work through it and figure out why that proves that conclusion? Or when they're told it's flawed, again, they get lazy, right? They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I get it. It's not good. And it's like, yeah, but why?
Yeah, I don't actually get this idea. It's been saving me some brain power by not having to think whether it's flawed or valid. And instead, I just skip to why it's flawed or valid. But to me, that's just one analysis. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to figure out why it's flawed or valid.
And then you know whether it is, but that's just like the final output. It's not the actual heavy lifting.
Yeah, because, I mean, valid arguments on the LSAT, they have premises that prove their conclusion. Mm-hmm. Invalid or flawed arguments on the LSAT have premises that don't justify their conclusion. Okay, great. Now, why? why doesn't it? What's the gap? What's the objection that you're going to make? And so when I'm analyzing these arguments, I expect them to be flawed or I expect them to be incomplete. I expect them to be bullshit. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting that their premises are not going to add up to their conclusion. But when I read the passage every once in a while, the premises do add up to the conclusion.
Yeah.
And I always notice every single time I notice, I go, oh, wait, oh boy, I was trying to object to this, but if that's a premise and that's a premise, then this conclusion must be true.
Yeah.
Oh, good job. And then they can ask me, I mean, probably it's going to be a matching pattern question, a parallel reasoning question, or it's going to be a must be true question, or it's going to be a reasoning question. But anyway, I understand what your evidence was. I understand what your conclusion was. I understand why this is valid reasoning. And now I can answer any question. Same thing if I spot that there's a flaw, I have a common sense objection. I'm like, well, dude, if this is your premise and that's your premise and this is your conclusion, then here's what I'm going to say back to that. I'm going to tell you why your conclusion doesn't have to be true, even if both of your premises are true or all of your premises are true. And then they can ask me literally any question. But it's like almost always the answer to the question is going to be rooted in why is this a bad argument?
Yeah.
Anything more for this ask button question?
No, I think we explained that pretty well. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.